This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy percolating inside the Montana Statehouse. I'm Kevin Trevlin. I cover the Statehouse for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm also a Report for America fellow.
I'm Shaylee Rager. I cover the Statehouse for Montana Public Radio.
And I'm Mara Silvers. I cover the Statehouse for Montana Free Press.
Week 3 of The Session. As of Friday, 296 bills have been introduced, and none have been signed into law quite yet. This week, we're watching how lawmakers are proposing to change the role of public health officials, how the state is addressing missing Indigenous persons, and how riots in D.C. could have ripple effects in Montana. Mara, can you kick us off with some of the bills that you're watching?
Yeah, so I think it's helpful to zoom out for a second on this because so far this session, we've seen a lot of bills that are somehow connected to COVID-19. And that might not be surprising, but specifically, many of the Republican-sponsored proposals we're seeing get through committee hearings, they have to do with trying to change the power structure when it comes to public health orders and emergency declarations. One bill that got a hearing last week is House Bill 144, brought by Representative Paul Fielder out of Thompson Falls. Essentially, it would give law enforcement the discretion to decide whether or not to enforce public health orders. Currently, sheriffs and peace officers would face a misdemeanor if they declined to do that. So this law would strike that part of the code. And as you could probably guess, this got a lot of support from law enforcement representatives during the hearing. They said that it would help create a more amicable working relationship with local health authorities. And at least on Friday, no one showed up or appeared online to testify in opposition to the bill.
Huh. And Shaylee, you're following kind of a similar bill in the Senate, right?
Right. Yeah. So Senator Steve Fitzpatrick from Great Falls brought essentially the same bill up through the Senate. So we heard Senator Fitzpatrick's bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee last week. It really does the exact same thing as Fielder's bill. And actually, it was unanimously approved by the committee on Friday. So we'll likely see that bill head to the Senate floor this week. We also heard from law enforcement in support of this bill in that bill hearing. So Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter spoke in support. Here's what he had to say about why the current law is an issue for them.
It creates an unnecessary adversarial relationship between a government appointee and elected officials.
Did any people or groups oppose the bill?
We did hear opposition from the Montana Human Rights Network. I will note that we didn't hear opposition from any local public health leaders themselves, but the Montana Human Rights Network raised concern during the committee hearing that this law would undermine the authority of public health officials during a state of emergency.
And jumping back to the House, Mara, you're also following another bill from Representative Paul Fielder, right?
Right. That's House Bill 145, and it's also supposed to get a hearing later this week. That bill has to do with the power of local public health boards. Right now, those officials are basically allowed to issue orders to correct any kind of public health violation. That's part of what's given local health officials so much authority during the pandemic. And Fielder's bill would change the language to say that local health boards can issue recommendations instead of orders.
Right. And Republican Representative David Beatty is sponsoring a similar bill that would give more power to local elected officials. Also in the area of public health, Beatty introduced a bill that would impact a governor's executive powers. Mara, can you break that one down?
Yeah. So my colleague Eric Dietrich covered this last week. That's House Bill 122, and it gives the legislature more authority to intervene with a governor's emergency declaration. Currently, the powers over emergency declarations really lie with the governor, especially when there is a national emergency order from the president. The governor has authority to see how that's enforced on a statewide level. And this bill that Beatty has put forward would basically make it so that the legislature has to give continuing authorization for the governor to keep an emergency declaration going.
And shifting gears a little bit from these Board of Health and kind of executive powers discussions, Shaylee, you're following a suite of bills related to the missing and murdered Indigenous person crisis in Montana, aren't you?
I am, Kevin. Yeah. So Representative Sharon Stewart-Paragoy, she's a Democrat from Crow Agency. She'll have three bills that aim to address the missing and murdered Indigenous persons issue in Montana. These bills are scheduled to be heard in the House Judiciary Committee this week. So these bills are building off of work that was actually done last session, the 2019 session, when we really saw lawmakers take up the missing Indigenous persons issue as an issue that they wanted to champion. Representative Stuart Peregoy did say that she wants to present this legislation as not just policy that helps Indian country in Montana or tribes or Native Americans. She wants this to be policy that helps the entire state.
As a state, we should have a more cohesive public safety system for our citizens, and it's not there. And that's the sad part. That's what we discovered.
So can you tell us what those bills would do, starting with House Bill 98?
Yeah, so House Bill 98, it would extend the Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force and the grant program that is administered by that task force. There was a sunset put on that program in 2019 that would have it end this coming spring. So House Bill 98 essentially just extends the sunset on this policy to 2023. So briefly, the task force goal is to bring together federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement to talk about missing persons issues and why they've been having trouble coordinating in the past.
And it sounds like there's a lot of bipartisan support for that.
There was in 2019, absolutely. However, I have been speaking with Representative Sharon Stuart Peregoy, and she's a little more uncertain this session that this issue is going to get as much traction as it did last session, particularly because her other two bills related to this require an appropriation, and that always makes it a little more tricky to get a bill across the finish line.
Can you describe those two bills that do have appropriations tied to them?
House Bill 36 would establish a missing persons response team training grant program. So essentially, they just want to get more training for law enforcement. That has an appropriation of about $61,000. House Bill 35 would establish a missing persons review commission. So Representative Stuart Peregoy explained this to me as different from the task force in that the review commission would be focused on long-term studies of trends and cases of missing persons in Montana. That has an appropriation of $85,000. And I would note this is comparatively, these are pretty low appropriations. The state is generally working with a budget that's around $10 billion, give or take. So this is quite small comparatively.
I know we've all been so busy tracking all of these different bills that have been going on, but another thing that reporters and lawmakers and members of the public have also been talking about is just some basic security protocols at the Capitol. And that's obviously following the insurrection that we saw at the U.S. Capitol. And now with inauguration coming up, we're hearing some reports that there could be more interventions at state capitals around the country. Kevin, what do you know about what's going on here in Montana?
Yeah, so I spoke to Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton last week, and his office is working with the Helena Police Department and the Montana Highway Patrol, which is in charge of security at the Capitol building in Helena. And so they will have elevated security at the Capitol.
We will have some extra people in the area. We're not going to have what they call an offense type of approach. We will have people there, but you probably won't see them, and we won't use them unless they're needed.
So law enforcement officials in Helena were watching this past weekend, and they're also looking toward Wednesday, which is inauguration day in D.C. And Sheriff Dutton said they weren't getting any notification of direct threats or internet chatter relating to big armed protests in Montana. Also worth noting that Governor Greg Gianforte deployed 150 Montana National Guard soldiers to D.C., that includes soldiers from Billings, Malta, Glasgow, and in Lewistown. But there was no request to deploy soldiers in Montana, as was reported by Montana Public Radio last week. So before we go, we'll recap what we were watching last week. Republican Representative Seth Burgley's House Bill 102 that would expand concealed firearm carry opportunities passed out of the House and is now in the Senate.
The two bills we talked about last week, brought by Representative John Fuller, had their hearings rescheduled for today, Monday. That's House Bill 112, which would ban trans women from participating in women's interscholastic sports, and House Bill 113, which would prohibit doctors from prescribing certain treatments to trans youth who are dealing with gender dysphoria.
We've also been watching how the coronavirus pandemic is impacting this session, and we saw a second lawmaker test positive. So Representative Fiona Nave out of Columbus tested positive, although she has not been in the Capitol and she has only been participating remotely this session.
Mara, Shaylee, thanks for the time today. We'll be back next week.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.